Jeremy Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. We had as our guest this morning Jackie Krepel with Fighters for Life. She had an emergency meeting that came up through work that she actually had to go to. So at the last minute, she let me know that she was not going to be live with us this morning. So I'm going to open up the phones if anyone wants to give us a call. It's 718-717-8106. And as I want to do when I'm in these situations, I'm just going to talk about what's on my mind. So on Friday, we had on Carl Grossman talking about his article on the Cassini crashing into Saturn. The way that NASA is playing this is so amazing. The stories are saying that this is a nuclear run. It is nuclear powered Cassini. It's not nuclear powered. Almost 73 pounds of plutonium that is on the Cassini is there to run the electricity. That's the electrical power it's doing, running electricity. And these people are saying that it's going to crash into Saturn. I think the date was the 17th. So, interestingly enough, when I was at school, I got into it sort of sparked an argument. I mentioned this last Friday, and some people thought that we as humans have a perfect right to crash into, unfettered, right into Saturn and destroy their biosphere as much as we need. And we don't know if that's what's going to happen. That's the interesting thing. We have no idea. They're hoping that it's going to be how they think it was. But like all nuclear scientists, complete failures. They are failures in the scientific world, or liars, or I haven't got a clue what they call themselves. But they are producing every single day at every single nuclear power plant 1,000 Chernobyls being stored in the United States in half-inch thick containers that we know will start leaking in 100 years and are only planned to live for 100 years, and they leak in 20 years. I beg your pardon. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here. I have no idea what you guys did this morning, but I was on the phone at 6 o'clock in the morning calling Congress because we have a president that is intent, and a Congress that I'm going to read you a definition. This is exactly what is going on in our country. This is from a reading from David Collier, and he is, it's called The Overview of Bureaucratic Authoritarian Model, because that is exactly where we're headed, folks. This is the real textbook social science textbook definition of bureaucratic authoritarianism. These systems are excluding and emphatically not democratic. Central actors in the dominant coalition include high-level technocrats, military and civilian, within and outside the state, working in close association with foreign capital. Can we say Russia? This new elite eliminates electoral competition. Can we say Russia again? And severely controls the political participation of the popular sector. Public policy is centrally concerned with promoting advanced industrialization. O'Donnell emphasizes that bureaucratic authoritarianism should not be confused with German or Italian fascism, which he sees as different political configurations that emerge in a different economic and social context. And he is referring to Guillermo O'Donnell, who has written a whole series on really political science in terms of defining how we run ourselves. Now, we're hearing this constantly phrased from about President Trump, that he is a populist. He is far this thing from the populace that there could be. Let's be really, really clear. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who really made his mark as being the tough guy who ran the congressional hearings railing against Clinton and her little pack of lies. When the Obama White House refused to give information, he famously said, "You don't get to tell us what to do." I think that story's changed now, because this White House is 100% refusing to give any documents about the traitor Michael Flynn, who our vice president knew. They knew that he was cohorting with the Russians. And unlike the White House is purporting, the actual facts, and yes, there are real facts, there are things, that actual events that actually really do happen that you can actually trace. There's actually really is a digital and a paper trail on all of this stuff. The Russians really did get involved in our elections and swaying the elections. I don't know if I talked about it yesterday, but there was a story that I saw. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I'm sure I didn't talk about it because I was talking to Larry Woods. There was a story I saw yesterday morning. A lady out of Minnesota was on the election boards in Minnesota, a small little precinct, and they had some suspicions about their machines. So she and three other people, one person would, it was a small precinct, 300 votes. They took their machine, they fed the votes back into the machine, but as they fed the votes, they actually counted it because it's marked on the ballot who the people want. So one person, they had a clicker. Each person would click who they voted for. They had Clinton, Trump, and undesignated, meaning they voted for somebody, not Clinton or Trump. It was only 300 ballots. Out of those 300 ballots, 18 of them were marked differently. There was a difference. There was 18 more unknowns inside the machine than what had actually been counted. So they went to the registrar of voters and asked her, could you please just hand count these votes? Now, this is the story that I saw because it was on video. They were so incensed. They took a video into the meeting of the registrar of voters, and the lady running it, Republican, I might add, said, "Absolutely not. We are not recounting these votes." I don't know how you guys feel about that, but this is how Hitler took over, folks. This is how he fried 6 million people. This is exactly how it works. When individuals at the bottom rung of the ladder follow orders, click their heels and say Sieg Heil and refuse to be Americans, refuse to have integrity. This is exactly how it works. Bureaucratic authoritarianism relies on people, human beings, inside the system. And it relies on everyone else being too afraid to speak up. Our country is in dire straits right now, folks. And I mean seriously dire straits. Larry Woods and I had a little conversation after we got off the phone yesterday. And after the radio show, I called him back to rebook him. Thank goodness he'll be back so we can explore his concepts a little bit more. But he was saying, well, I'm just glad we don't have Hillary Clinton. Me too. I'm glad we don't have her too. However, did you know that Donald Trump did not know Rex Tillerson before he got elected? It wasn't like he met him during the campaign and said, oh, this guy's a good guy. He needs to be my Secretary of State. No, he had Carter Page, who was taking money from the Russians. He had Mike Flynn, who was taking money from the Russians illegally, who should be indicted. The fact that the Republicans are not calling for his indictment speaks to volumes about how brainwashed this country is. Or cowardly? I mean, we're not the home of the brave. We're the home of the cowards, folks. So many people say to me, oh, aren't you afraid? Hell no, I'm not afraid. I don't frankly have anything to lose. I mean, like I wrote in a letter to then-Senator Bill Frist right after he passed legislation to consolidate all the hospitals, to allow consolidation of hospitals across the country so him and his dad could buy all the hospitals. I kept writing them demanding the impeachment of George Bush. And in one of my letters, I really literally wrote in there, I'm not going to stop demanding the impeachment of Cheney and Bush. If you guys want to throw me in jail, go right ahead. I won't have to pay rent and I might get regular sex. Seriously, I wrote that in a letter. And that is exactly how I feel. Because you know what? These people are criminals that are running our government. You think Hillary Clinton is bad? Woohoo! Just wait till October. Wait till the September surprise, the October surprise, the collapse of the economy in December, folks. I mean, if we're lucky, Trump will just resign and say, oh, hi, this is way too much for me. I want my old life back. He's probably sick of taking orders from his kids. You know, and that's the other thing. I wonder how much money his family is making. Right this second, inside of Russia. Inside of Russia. Now, I'm not anti-Russian. I have some of my best friends are Russian. I love them, literally. I have a really great friend of mine who is Russian. Her family comes from Azerbaijan, which is sort of nowhere land in Russia now. They don't even have a passport. They're passportless. They know what Putin does. They know that Putin is not looking out for the best interest of Russia. Every single dollar that comes into the Russian government, Putin gets a bit of. Authoritarian, bureaucratic authoritarianism. There we go. So I thought also this thing about the Cassini. See, this is how it works. They spin their little lies. This is why I want to talk to you about it, because I think that people do not remember history. If people remembered history, maybe we would, I don't know what we'd do, but we certainly wouldn't be doing this right now. I'm no fan of Obamacare. I personally have paid the penalty every year. They can go screw themselves. I'm not paying for healthcare for profit. But today, as we speak, the battery, the beating of America is beginning. Like, we are going to get punched in the face today when these Republicans pass this ditching of Obamacare for a much worse plan. And you know what's really interesting? The way they've written it, the way that it's rolled out. The real pain, they won't even feel the real pain after 2018 so they can win the House again. That's why the House wrote that legislation, to gut the EPA and the Department of Education for December 31st, 2018. So the phone number, if anybody wants to give me a call, is 718-717-8106. You guys are free to give us a call here. So I'm just going to keep on, because I've had a lot on my mind about all of these things. This is completely outrageous. NASA, I'm trying to find the article. Actually, it went away on the Googles, the one that I was reading this morning. So I'm going to have to read another one. It just disappeared. It just went bye-bye. It's talking about how it is going to crash into Saturn in September, folks, by September 17th, I think it said. So this is what they're going to do. We have the complete audacity to run a spaceship into another planet directly at it with 72 pounds of plutonium. These people are insane. They're completely insane. They have no regard for the atmosphere, for the environment. They all think it's really great. They're like a bunch of little kids who just can't wait to like drive the car at 12, you know? I don't know. It's quite pathetic. So here's a story. I want to read to you this story. I got it sent to me in an email. It almost confirms everything that I've been saying. Very often I say this. How, in fact, I said this to Dr. Busby. How could we have been bombing the entire planet during the 50s and the 60s and have it not affect our biosphere? How is that? This story is written May 1st. The publication is called Pollution Online, the website for prevention and control professionals. Wow. And there are stories to the right of it that like pop my eyes out, but I'm going to read this one to you first. Written by Sarah Jerome, the title is called Nuclear Contamination Reaches Earth's Deep Water, Could Affect Billions with a B. Billions of people may face a threat posed by radioactive materials in water. May, you mean do. The shocking new study has revealed that underground water drunk by billions of people may have been contaminated by decades of nuclear weapons testings. Researchers looked at more than 6,000 wells around the globe, some containing more than 10,000 years old. Found more than half had traces of tritium, the Daily Mail reported. Even at low doses, tritium has been linked with increased risk of mutation in cancer because it goes directly into the tissues and of organs of the human body. The study was led by Scott Jasechko, Jasechko, of the University of Calgary in Canada. It was published online in the Nature Geoscience on April 25th, and the university released a statement about the research. Tritium was spread during the nuclear bomb tests in 1950s, the Science News reported, citing the study. Actually, tritium is being spread right now as we speak, not just during the 50s, folks. New York City is full of tritium now. Maybe that's why they're coming out with this story, because they need a good fall guy. Oh, it's what we did in the past, not what we're doing right now. Professor James Kirschner of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, Zurich, said the per the Daily Mail, roughly half of the wells contain some fraction of recent groundwater less than 50 or 60 years old. It is a bit like going to a giant old people's home and suddenly realizing there's lots of kids running around. That's great, except if the little kids have the flu. How do you like the way they twist these analogies? I can't, I have to say, this is why I never faulted Kevin Blanch for cussing as much as he did, because when you start talking about these nuclear liars, the cuss words just fall out of your mouth. And I think it's because we have zero control. So it's just an expression of venting our anxiety. The upshot is that even groundwater buried deep in the earth, excuse me, I'm going to reread that again. The upshot is that even groundwater buried so deep in the earth that it is accessible only by the world's deepest wells is not immune to modern contamination. Also known as fossil water, this resource began as snow and rain that fell more than 12,000 years ago. The scientific community previously believed that fossil water was not contaminated. The unfortunate finding is that even though deep wells pump mostly fossil groundwater, many still contain some recent rain and snow melt, which is vulnerable to modern contamination. Our results imply that the water quality in deep wells can be impacted by the land management decisions we make today. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to just read you some of these headlines and we'll scan down them and then we'll pick one. How about that, kids? Today it's 8:21 right now. This is amazing. Here's the title. Nuclear plant polluting Florida drinking water. Another title. DEP announces start of tritium cleanup at Oyster Creek. Did you guys know that there was tritium at Oyster Creek? Oh, dear. New way to treat groundwater contaminated by nuclear waste. Oh, maybe we'll have to go to that one. Water contaminated by jet fuel waste sparks lawsuit. Where does nuclear waste go? Iowa's drinking water suffers from nitrate contamination. We knew that, and actually, that was one of the first stories I read. Over 6 million people have high levels of nitrates in their water. University of Illinois knew that a couple years ago. Improved nitrate stats credited to non-point sources. Oh, listen to this next headline. Infants at risk from Pennsylvania nitrate contamination. 20 years of feces contaminated water leads to lawsuit. High levels of bacteria found in Minnesota wells. Environmental groups sue Florida power plant for contaminant discharges. Huh. Florida sinkhole leaks 200 million gallons of contaminated wastewater. Okay, so which ones do we want to read about first? Well, there's a story at the bottom and a story at the top. Nuclear plant polluting Florida drinking water. So I'm going to open that in a new tab. And then we'll go to the bottom and we'll open that one in the new tab and see if they're talking about the very same nuclear power plant. Maybe they're just writing about the same stuff. Oh, here we go again. This is Sarah Jerome. She must be one of their primary. They're talking about Turkey Point in this article that says nuclear polluting Florida drinking water. And then Florida sinking hole leaks at least 200 million gallons of contaminated water. We'll talk about this sinkhole first because most people have no idea where it comes from. And is she talking about the radioactivity? From where? Which plant? Anyways, let's read the story about the contaminated water. The nuclear power plant. Nuclear plant polluting Florida drinking water. When was this written? March 29th. Well, this was last year. This is last year's news. We knew about this, 2016. They still have done nothing about it. Turkey Point is still polluting. It's ironic, but it is still polluting. So why would that be at the very top of the list here? Huh. So let's see this one. Environmental groups sue Florida power plant for contaminant discharges. So this is my thing. What's the point of, yeah, we can sue them. I mean, Hanford Challenge has been making a good living suing Hanford, but frankly, what good's it do? I mean, why? When we can sue them all we want and nothing changes. It doesn't even matter how much we sue them or don't sue them. Our children are not going to be able to live risk-free and healthy. So this is just, it kind of makes me mad. Oh, yeah, well, we can sue them. Really? So let's see what the scientists at the at Washington University in St. Louis have found a new way of treating water contaminated by nuclear waste. This story was written last year, May 4th, 2016. Scientists at Washington University in St. Louis have found a new way of treating water contaminated by nuclear waste. These strides could be useful not only in the cleanup of former nuclear sites, but also in the treatment of mine water, since it can be contaminated by uranium, a consequence of gold mining, according to the Times of South Africa. Researchers discovered a new efficient way of using calcium phosphate to react with and immobilize uranium. In their experiments, researchers first determined the exact levels of calcium in the contaminated water. Then they added the phosphate, which is formed calcium phosphate, chemically binding and neutralizing the uranium. The study built on and expanded previous research. Past field studies, including one at the Hanford site in the state of Washington, focused on in situ solutions that injected phosphates directly into contaminated groundwater. Remediation efforts were not fully successful because of the scale of overlap of the calcium, uranium, and phosphates was limited. This makes me just want to spit nails. Seriously, makes me want to spit nails to know that there is one person buying a single share of stock of uranium on this planet. Why is uranium mining soaring in the stock market today when we have these kinds of contaminants killing our people? You want to know why? Bureaucratic authoritarianism, folks. That's why when people say, oh, I don't get involved in politics, well, yes, you do. You do get involved in politics. If you're not out there getting involved in politics, you're the victim of it. You're still involved. It's like saying, it's kind of like a woman who stays with a batterer, a guy who comes home and beats her like every weekend, or I don't know, batterers have their patterns, you know? Some batterers will beat you every single day, and some will do it once a week. And having someone stay with him and say, well, he's not affecting my kids. He's a good dad. He's a really good dad. It's only once in a while that my kids have to watch their mother get beaten up. I mean, how many of you out there have actually been around a woman who has to hide a black eye or has strangle marks around her neck that you avoid not seeing? This is what we're doing to our country. This is exactly what we're doing to our country. I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning calling elected officials because they have to know that we have an emergency. It's not about health care. It's not about them gutting our health care. The health care system sucks. Until we get single payer health care, this country is going to be sick, disabled, and mentally infirm. And I credit my good health and my good mental well-being to the fact that I have stayed away from the AMA as much as possible. And I'm sorry to insult any of you who work in the medical industry, but that is the most corrupt thing that we've done to our people. It's absolutely insane we don't have single-payer health care. People should be able to go to the doctor. And our doctors should be trained in herbology. They ought to be trained in kinesiology and chiropractic and true healing elements that heal our bodies instead of being demeaned. It's like calling it fake news. It's like fake healing. Really, fake news and fake healing? Well, I'm a product of fake healing. I got healed, literally got healed of very severe arthritis in my early 40s. Through what's alternative. It's almost like this whole thing about alternative radio, right? This isn't alternative radio. We're not alternative radio. We're radio, folks. We just have lots of channels out there. It's unregulated radio. That's really what it is. We have people out there putting out their own opinions, their own ideas, their own kinds of shows of what they'd like to see happen. And you know what's interesting? I am so grateful that I get to go to college right now. As many of you know, I changed my major to political science. And I have to say, this term has been an eye-opener because I'm taking an introduction to environmental politics. And actually, it's all been studied, analyzed, and labeled. Many of you have known that I have made comments on this radio show about just the complete disregard that I get from the NGOs, you know, the non-government organizations like Greenpeace and all these other NRDC, National Resource Defense Fund. I wanted them to come on our show and interview and talk to us about their issues. And they completely, I don't even get a phone call back. In fact, Hanford Challenge does not give me a phone call back. I'm going to keep talking to them. I'd love to talk to Tom Carpenter, who runs Hanford Challenge, or someone from their office. I've written them emails. I'm going to continue to do it because at some point they will want to participate with us. And I know that's true. But part of why they don't, and this has been documented, there is like a conflict. It's like we are considered unnecessary. We're considered the radicals. We are considered the people who want to push. These people want to cooperate, negotiate. It's partly why the Oregon legislature is pushing the new SMRs, because the people talking to them want to negotiate. The people who are supposed to be fighting back and pushing up against this, they're saying, well, yes, it's really, really bad. We really don't want them, but they're still talking sweetsie to them because they want to get in the door. We got to knock the door down, folks. I don't know. It's really going to be up to us. We are not in a position to be lazy. We are not in a position to take it easy, because this is how havoc happens. When people are complicit, bad things happen. And by bad, I mean extreme violence, murder, death, kill, which is going on right now. Donald Trump is working his very... When people say to me, oh, well, aren't you glad they're going to drain the swamp and they're going to kill, you know, they're going to defund the federal government? No, I'm not. I'm not happy about that. The State Department has over 400 jobs that are unfilled. The State Department is what keeps our allies and the people around the world communicating with us, telling us what's going on in other countries. We have an out-of-control military. We all accept that. They're out there doing murder, death, kill. Donald Trump has basically told them, go ahead, go do it on your own. And people have said, well, you know, he's not really qualified to oversee the military. Well, then what the heck did he take this job for if he wasn't willing to step up to the plate? I mean, to be honest, that was the most despicable thing. After last Friday, when he was like, well, this is a lot harder than I thought. I mean, honestly, I have no respect for him anymore at all. None. And I don't know how anybody can think he's doing any favors to our country by installing Mnuchin, who is a Wall Street banker who foreclosed on people and threw them out of their houses, had a $32 million offshore account that he forgot to disclose to Congress. Jeff Sessions, who was meeting with Russian liaisons and forgot to disclose that during his session, and who is a known KKKer running the Justice Department. This is a man who believes that people like me should be in jail, because I tell him to fuck off, man. He really can. I mean, honestly, they're despicable human beings who need therapy. Betsy DeVos, whose brother runs Blackwater. Blackwater had to leave the country and go base itself in Dubai because they are under federal indictment. Eric Prince is under federal indictment in this country and cannot come back. We hired his sister to run our Department of Education, who did her own black magic and destroyed the schools in Minnesota and in New Orleans. That's who's running our Department of Education. Yesterday, they approved, this rubber stamp Congress approved a man to run the SEC, who defended the banks, who has Big, huge ties to Wall Street. Rex Tillerson, I already mentioned to you. Donald Trump never even met him. He was the president of ExxonMobil. It closed a multi-billion dollar deal with Russia 2 years ago. Got a Medal of Honor from the Russian government. And now he's our Secretary of State. Has no experience whatsoever. Breitbart, a propaganda machine, a right-wing alternative, like seriously hardcore misogynistic racist publication of Breitbart, is the president's trusted advisor? I mean, how can people even begin to believe that this presidency spells good news for America? Just because we have unfilled jobs in Washington, D.C. does not mean it's good for our country. They fired the assistant attorney general who advised them that Mike Flynn might be compromising them. Instead of thanking her for doing her job and being bipartisan and letting them know, they fired her and kept Mike Flynn around for 3 weeks while he was sitting in on national security issues. And no GOP. Chaffetz is going to resign from Congress. Mr. Heavy-handed Chaffetz, who told Clinton, you don't get to tell us what we get to ask for. Instead of stepping up to the plate, he's decided he has better things to do than to be in Congress. He's quitting midterm. This is how serious the threat to his life has been. He's quitting midterm. If anybody out there really thinks that Trump is a good guy for our country, please give me a call because I would love to talk to you. 718-717-8106. I would love to have a conversation with you about this because this, to me, is the most unconscionable president. What's really unconscionable to me is the GOP. When Nixon and the CIA infiltrated Chile to install Pinochet, it was the Republicans who held him for account on the other issue. They weren't even concerned about Chile. They weren't even concerned about that our government was overthrowing a new democracy in Allende. That whole story in Allende when Pinochet took over, the helicopters, those were American helicopters. The whole thing was a big fake. The American government put $1 million into Chile to buy their newspaper. Because the first thing you do when you want to install a dictator is destroy the free press. And isn't that what Mr. Trump is doing? The fake news, fake this, fake that. So here's somebody who might be defending this president. Good morning. You're on the air with Lonnie Clark. Age of Vision Radio Show. Hello? 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 I can't hear you. I'm going to hang up the phone and I'm going to try to give you a call right back because I can't hear you on the line here. I don't know if you've called in. You're on the air with Lonnie Clark, the Age of Vision. Okay, so I'm going to call you right back. How about that? See if I can capture this phone number. Hold on. Let me write it down. Okay, here, let's try it. I'm going to hang up. We're going to give you a call right back. How about that? I wrote the phone number down, so I'm going to call back this person because somehow, being technology, not so much, folks. Let's see if we can get through this one. Hello. Let's see. I'll give them a call.
Sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box.
Let's give them a call again. Okay, we always play these games with the phone calls, don't we, folks, whenever we have to do this. And I have to apologize to you. So the thing is, I don't really have anybody here to help me figure this stuff out. So I kind of have to, do it on my own. So let's see if we can give him a call back. See if this will work. Hello. This would be super sweet if I could talk to somebody who thinks this guy's a good guy.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. This is Lonnie Clark with the
Good
Education
morning.
Radio Show. Hey. Is this my friend Michael?
This is. Welcome to America.
This is not America. I reject that. This is
you know
not
what?
America.
It's totally America, and this is the America that has been designed for us to have since the end of World War II.
Yes, I will agree with you. It is the takeover of the military. It is a fascist state. True that.
It's been that way since 1945. And you really start getting into it. How many lies have we been told since 1945? How many lies were we told about the seminal event of our nation's founding, which is, you know, you could say it's the Revolutionary War. It's World War II. World War II is what changes everything.
Well, that's when
we've been lied to it about the onset, and we've been lied to it about everything to this day. Everything
that's true.
Stems from that lie.
That's actually true. They did infiltrate. The Nazis actually really did. The Nazis started the war in World War II, and then they infiltrated the United States government when Hitler went crazy.
The Japanese started World War II by invading Manchuria.
That is actually not true. I mean, the way they started that.
The Japanese invaded Manchuria in 1929.
Yes.
That was 5-6 years before Hitler came to power. He was even any kind of like politician. He was still a homeless dude at that time.
But then again, you have to remember, Michael, the Japanese were still being funded by the same set of bankers. They were being encouraged and stroked to start this. It was really
Absolutely.
A form of collusion on all of their... This is why Japan is so instrumental to the nuclear industry right now. That's why they filled their little island.
Japan is America's heat sink for debt.
Does that mean that
entire world debt, and the United States holds like 41%, and Japan holds 29% of the total world debt? That 29% that Japan holds is really ours. They're just holding it for us.
That's right.
That's our debt.
But then, Michael, do we just give in? Do we just say nothing and let them just roll over our children and our future? I mean, I think
that's what we've done. That's what we've done so far for the last 50, 60 years.
But you know, part of that is because we
start getting into it, like the Greatest Generation. They talk about the Greatest Generation saved the world and all that. The Greatest Generation set the world up for failure. They have these great high and mighty morals of we're stopping all this evil and injustice, and yet they're going to bring evil and injustice right back here because it's got a new name on it. No, it's all coming out of World War II, and it was all a great big lie about banks, just like every war.
Well, I think it started before World War II. I think it started with the setup of the World Bank, to be honest.
Well, yeah,
like,
you can go into that, but the causes of World War II.
But the question is...
Once again, it's money, right? Because the Versailles Treaty put an insane amount of debt on Germany. I mean, it's like the equivalent of like $5 trillion today that Germany had to pay in reparations back for World War One.
I get this, but then... Do we just sit down and take it? I mean, this is the issue. We have structures where we could set up and demand more justice, not just environmental justice, but social justice.
Yeah, but how are you going to appeal through the system for a remedy when it's the system that's causing the intercourse on your backside? Please, sir, can I have another? No, you can't. You can't appeal to the system for anything because the system is broken. And actually, I should take that back. The system is not broken. The system works perfectly because this is exactly designed.
True that. It is working exactly as planned.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. This is all the great big bankster dream. And, you know, that's why, it gets into everything from insurance. I mean, insurance to me is one of the most vile, despicable things in the world.
You're talking health insurance or auto insurance?
Health insurance, car insurance, home insurance, whatever kind of insurance it is.
See, I agree. I personally agree with I think auto insurance and I think home insurance, these are equitable things. What I think is incorrect is health insurance, because you can't put a price on somebody's life. You can put a price on an automobile.
If I sold you a car and you owe me money, yeah, you should have to have insurance on that to protect my investment. That's one thing. But if you have, you shouldn't have to have car insurance in case somebody without insurance hits you. No, it should be, if somebody hits you without insurance, they pay for it. That's just the way it is.
You know what though, Michael? I will tell you this. Before I was 30 years old, I hit 6 cars. I mean, I was not a good driver. If I would have had...
That's not an insurance issue. That's a driving issue.
Well, I mean, they weren't bad accidents, you know, but fender bumpers, you know what I mean? Like slamming into somebody, or one time I got crunched on the freeway. I was in between two people and somebody smashed me. I smashed somebody. Another time I forgot to put the brake on my car, rolled down the hill and crashed. I mean, these are things that would have left me. In fact, I was already in financial ruin. I was working 2 jobs, making about $1,800 a month, living in L.A., paying $1,100 a month, supporting my 2 kids on my own. So,
right. And how much that money that you made every month, how much of that you had to go to car insurance?
$100.
And health insurance or homeowners.
Well, I've always been an insurance protester. After I worked for an insurance company, I think I was 32 at the time. And when I saw what was going on, I dropped out of the company's health insurance and became an insurance protester. I
can tell you from experience that any cost in a hospital right now is 3 times, a minimum of 3 times what it should be, merely because of insurance.
Well, doctors and dentists are trained to believe that they have a right to be millionaires in 10 years. I have a friend of mine who's a dentist, and she works with her patients on the fees. And she has a really good practice, but a lot of people who need to make payments to her. And she goes to these seminars and they tell her, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be making a lot of money. If people can't pay you for their dental work, then don't talk to them. I mean,
what's the difference between that and an auto mechanic? You have an auto mechanic, and he's got the right to make a whole bunch of money too, and he may make the same kind of deal where he's going to get...
He's not going to make $500,000 a year personal income. They're not being told... They're not making $300,000. Auto mechanics don't make $300,000, $400,000.
Right, but auto mechanics also don't spend 15 years in school. There's got to be a trade-off for spending.
Well, they don't spend 15 years in school, but the fact is, it's not the years in school. Hey, I would love to go to school for 15 years. That's not a penalty. I mean, school is...
But then you come out of that school with $350,000 worth of debt.
Okay, so then that speaks to the other part.
You got to live somewhere. You got to put clothes on. You got to get,
Charging people to go to school is another part of the cancer. That's part of...
Charging people to go to school... That happened. That kind of problem like went nuclear the minute that we had Pell Grants and federal school loans and shit. Anytime you get the government,
no, Michael, what happened was school.
The price goes through the roof.
No, school used to school when I was younger. I mean, when I was in my 20s, for me to go to school, it would have cost me $3,000 a year. I didn't have $3,000 a year. That felt like $1 million in those days. There's a huge difference between $3,000 and $26,000. The reason that we have expensive schools is Ronald Reagan came in and said, what are we doing subsidizing students? They need to pay if they want to be educated. Then we privatize schools. Just then, the same way we privatize healthcare.
Because there's companies like, let's just do one of the colleges. That advertises during like the Maury Povich show, you know, learn how to be a corrections institute or whatever at Apollo College. Apollo College will give you that certificate, but they're going to take every dime of that Pell Grant money. Every dime. Now,
I go
that equivalent training to become a security guard or whatever it is, someplace where you pay out of pocket, I would almost guarantee you the cost of that is 1/5 of whatever Apollo College is going to give you. And probably 3 times as fast.
I don't know about Apollo College. I do know about the University of Oregon where I'm enrolled. And
I'm not referring to like University of Oregon or like a major school like that. I'm referring to like a TV school.
I'm talking
that
about major
IT tech. And it happens at bigger schools too. I mean,
bigger schools are worse.
If they turned off the Pell grants and federally subsidized and guaranteed loans for students, what would happen? There wouldn't be half as many people going to school. They would have to change their pricing system. They would have to dedicate far less money to the football and basketball team.
No, Michael, no. You have it completely asked backwards. Excuse my French, but it's the football is the reason for, like, our school. They pour millions and millions. We have big corporations who give these guys big, huge sums of money.
In the state of Arizona and the state of Texas, the two highest paid public employees are sports coaches from college.
Exactly. That's the way it is across everywhere.
In other states, the highest paid public employees.
Well, the reason it's because we're not focused on it. See, education could be a far less cost. We don't have to be pouring billions of dollars. We don't have to have student loan debt and have people get out of school. I mean, the reason I never went to school was because of the debt. And finally, I hit at 57. I'm like, who cares about the debt? I'll be dead by the time I'm graduate anyway. So I started taking loan debt. And I do take loan debt to pay my tuition.
It's almost mandatory now. I mean,
it's not mandatory.
On your paycheck.
I could turn it down. But frankly, you want me to tell you the truth as to why I don't turn it down? I want to break the system. I think if we get so much loan debt,
I think that's beautiful. I think everybody who's listening to this show right now should apply for food stamps, apply for a gas card, apply for an Obama.
Michael, you cannot compare. Look, I beg your pardon, but you cannot compare food stamp programs with college education. I mean, to be honest.
I can compare anything that's a freebie from the government.
But college, it's not a freebie. It is not a freebie to take out student loan debt. We're paying more interest on our student loans than everybody else, frankly.
Pell grants are a freebie.
You know how much Pell grants? So you're telling me you resent helping people get free public education?
I'm not saying I resent helping people get free public education. What I resent is the government putting their thumb on it, and once the government puts their thumb on it, the stain cannot be removed. It is permanently ruined. Everything the government touches gets ruined. If the United States government was given the Sahara Desert, I guarantee you within 2 years, there would be a report on CNN talking about the sand crisis, how we're running out of sand.
So I'm going to draw a distinction. In my head, I don't think we have a United States government. I think our government is being run by the industrial military complex.
That is
not our government. If our Congress and our Senate looked at the military and said, you know what, you guys, we really don't need all this money going. More than 50% of our budget goes into the military to, quote, protect ourselves. We don't need to protect ourselves if we're not beating everybody up in the face. So I think what
we're not beating up everybody in the face, that means we're not producing any weapons, we're not financing anything, and the economy goes into the toilet.
So we don't need to have a war machine economy, Michael. We need
I'm not saying we need one, but we need one because if we don't have a war economy, this place falls apart.
That's because we have a negative feedback loop of we need war to keep. It's a self-perpetuating negative feedback loop. What we really need to do is wean ourselves off.
It's beyond a self-perpetuating feedback loop at this point. What it is, it's the only path. We've dug ourselves into a hole where the only path forward is war.
You know what? That reminds me of two things. First off, when you're on the wrong road, you can always turn back. And the second.
Like
Now let me. This is the second one. Reminds me of this story about the mule who fell into the well, and the farmer could not get the mule out of the well. He was freaking out. The mule was crying all day long. So he ran and got his neighbors. After 3 days, he just decided to just bury this stupid thing because he was just whining and crying for 3 days in a row. He couldn't lift him out. Gathered all the neighbors around. They all start pouring dirt into the well. And all of a sudden, after about 2 hours, the mule starts to appear. With every shovel of dirt shoveled on that mule's back, he shook it off, stamped on the dirt, and walked himself up out of it. We can shake this off and walk our way out of the well that we've fallen into. I really disagree with the
idea. I think the only way we can fix this is to shoot the donkey in the well and move to a different property, because the donkey in the well is the bank that's dragging us all down.
Okay, so let's get clear. Do you believe that we ought to have any kind of a formal government?
Yeah, I do, because I do not believe in anarchism, because anarchism doesn't work.
Okay, so do you believe in our Constitution?
All it takes is a group of anarchists on one side and a group of could be babbling morons, but a group of babbling morons with a strong leader on the other side. And you've got
do you believe in our Constitution?
If you don't want to work together, then do I believe in the Constitution? Yeah, I believe in the Constitution.
Okay, absolutely. So then do you think we ought to have a standing army?
I think we should have an army that follows, like, you know, promote the common welfare, provide for the national defense, and, you know, be an extra hand when there's some sort of national emergency.
When it's ready, okay.
Do I think we should be in South Korea? Should we be in Germany? Should we be? No, hell no. Hell no. Not a bit. Let them sons of bitches pay for their own problems.
Well, the thing is, if you read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, you would understand it's not about them helping them pay for their problems. It's about us imposing ourselves on them so we can take all their resources and assets. That's why the United States...
It's about us creating opportunity for finance, because when we steal somebody's resources, we have to finance the theft of that. We have to finance the transport of that. And we have to finance the refining of those resources.
So let me ask you this.
The production of whatever that resource is, so we can sell it back to the booger-eating Americans.
So we only have a few minutes left. Do you think that Donald Trump is doing a good job? Are you like what he's doing?
I don't like what he's doing, because I think Donald Trump is kind of a tool of Israel right now. And that's not kind of like how he... I mean, he sort of presented himself as, you know, friend, you know, Israel's best friend and all that, but... Look, Israel's not our little buddy. They're not our little brother. They're a cancer on the United States. They bleed us dry. I mean, we just gave them another, like, you know, supplemental update.
Well, in my view, Israel is an arm of the industrial military complex of the United States military. And the reason they're there is to create war so that we can create war machines, so that we can justify spending all of this and terrorizing people. We really are being gaslit and battered.
Do you think that any of these wars that are going on in the Middle East, North Africa, whatever, do you think any of those have anything to do with the United States? Or do you think the only person that benefits is Israel, right? Like, I end up taking a look at every one of these terrorist things that happens in Europe or happens in the United States. Who benefits? Not the people who are the victim, not the person who does it, because they usually end up dead, not the average Muslim throughout the world, because all he does is, you know, the terrorist act engenders more hate from the West onto this guy. Who benefits from every one of these things? It's Israel all the time.
The industrial military complex. No, you know who wins is the industry, who wants their resources. And Israel is the front man. But you know what? We have 15 seconds left. So thanks, Michael, for your opinions. It's always great.
Lonnie, I appreciate your show. Keep on doing what you do.
Yeah, I really appreciate you. And I love your show, by the way, Primer Time. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
JJ Inc. from Against the Wall, and you're listening to UCY.TV.
The nuclear industry, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and pro-nukers in